is Pastor Chris Armin, and my wife is Julie Armin, the better half of me. We have two little girls, Kalia and Poema, and we've been in Zambia the first 2 years without children with Pastor Ronaldo on the original team that went over there to start the church, and then came back. We had a three-year intermission where we lived in Baltimore and had two children and lived two doors down from Dottie right there in Nazam over there. And while we were living in Baltimore, just going to church, being part of the body of Christ in Baltimore, we had promised the Bible college students in Zambia, I had promised them that I would be there for their four-year graduation. So I really wanted to fulfill that promise. So we did everything for me to go and take a trip there. But once I was there and I saw them, it was like God did something incredible in my heart and said that you're going to be coming back here. And I thought, how is this possible? How can that possibly happen? Pastor Ronaldo had moved there in 2004 and been there straight through. So he was there and it was great to be with him and the team there. But I thought, how could we go back? And it was really the hand of God. Like God, I came back to Baltimore and I was in my job, but it wasn't the same. You know, I just, in deep down in my heart, I knew how God was going to do something. And little by little, He opened the doors for us to get back, with us finding, you know, just cheap airplane tickets and being able to rent our house and different things. And God did everything, really. We could really see His hand. And my wife was so on board about going back. She was so excited about it. She got me excited because I was actually doubting many times. And 3 years ago, we moved with our whole family back to Zambia, and we've been there for 3 years now. And with a vision, because Zambia is in quite kind of a place where it's in the middle of 8 different countries. It's a very central location. So in the church, and it seems like we're ascending church. We sent a team to the Congo, the northern part of Zambia. Also, just a few months ago, we sent a team to the southern part of Zambia to reach into Botswana. Pastor Ronaldo has a vision for Zimbabwe in the future. And then we have been praying of where is the next place to go. Then we were talking to Pastor Ronaldo in the living room. And we live like a couple yards from his house in a little house in the backyard. So we're together a lot. We were talking and we were talking about, you know, some of the countries, some vision of where we could go. And Malawi is a country on the eastern border of Zambia. And it's very similar to Zambia because they were all a British colony at one time. And so he said, hey, what do you think about Malawi? And I said, I think it's a cool place. I mean, it's a lot like Zambia. I said, like anybody could go there from our church. But he said, but will anybody go there? Anybody could go there, but will anybody go there? And I was thinking of, like, you know, other parts of Africa. But I thought, you're right. It's so close that it's about an 8-hour drive. The capital city of Malawi is like an 8-hour drive from where we are in Zambia. And I thought, it's probably the closest capital city to where we are in the capital of Zambia, in Lusaka. So I thought, I was thinking any of our Zambian Bible college students could go there on the mission field and we should be doing something farther away or something, I don't know, different. But it got the wheels turning and I just prayed and we said, let's go for a visit and see what God says. And 2 years ago, we started visiting the country. Julie and I went right before Christmas 2 years ago. And the response of people there was so incredible. Just a real, real hunger for the gospel. And a hunger to be discipled and trained. Like, what was it, Mike? He said, the same kind of question we get asked. Can you come and live here? Can you teach us? And so, as of last year, we started planning to move there. And by November, of the end of this year, in November, when there's elections here, we'll be moving there. And we plan to move there with our family, and one of the Zambian pastors that we've trained in the Bible school wants to also come with us and start a new church in the capital of Malawi, which is called Lilongwe. And I called Grace Hour from Lilongwe, and Pastor Wright on Grace Hour said, "That sounds like it's a long way away." And I thought, man, Pastor Wright, gotta step up those jokes a notch. But I thought of this verse just in thinking of that. And we have such a fabulous team in Zambia. And it's amazing how God brought us together for a season, and now He's sending us all out in different places. But one thing that, and I grew up in Baltimore. I went to the Christian school, the Greater Grace Christian Academy. Went to Bible college right after high school because I didn't do well in my SATs. And I thought, I'll just take them a year later, but I'll go to Bible school to kill time for a year. But when you make some of the decisions for the wrong reasons with God, like, God has a way of really changing your whole life around. He like hijacks your life. And I went there for a year in Bible school, and I got so hooked into Bible school, I said, I need more. And I said, I'll just do another year, just one more year, then I'll go. And I wanted to do physical therapy. And I did another year, and I said, maybe just one more year. And then by then, I knew God like changed my whole outlook on life and gave me a calling to be a missionary and things. And it was amazing. I was thinking about the first cause of God and how in the universe, when there's the different theories of how the universe came into being, a lot of people don't ask themselves the question, like, what is the first cause of all these things? Even if there were to be a Big Bang, where did the material come from to make that explosion? That's what I always ask myself. That's such a simple question, but that really, the creation and the Bible gives the answer to that. And that same, that God is the first cause of everything. But I also thought in the same way that God translates that into our life. Like, He is the first cause of our decisions to follow Him. Like, He is the one that makes the cause. Jesus said, no one can come to me unless the Father draw him. Like, the Father is the first cause. He puts something in our life to draw us. And in 1 Corinthians 3, and starting in verse 6, it talks about the foundation that we have, and one, someone sows and someone waters, but God gives the increase. And when it comes to our life, when it comes to our salvation, God is the one that's the first cause for all these things in our life. I think about, you know, for me, God putting me in the ministry, and then I met my wife who was in from the Greater Grace Church in France, and how put it on her heart to be a missionary, and then we met on the mission field. And who could have planned that? But it was God who caused it and started putting those thoughts and things, desires in our heart. Like it says in Psalm 37:4, that as you delight yourself in God, He gives you desires in your heart. And He puts the first cause in your heart, and He does that. And He puts that in there. And even this vision, you know, to go to Zambia, it wasn't really, we didn't have it all planned out, but we started making decisions and saying, God, what's the vision of the ministry? What's the next step? We don't even know exactly where we should go. And it was, they said, well, let's visit different places. And we visited Zambia, and it was the same way. It was so open, and God said, this is the place, and He directed us. And, I mean, one verse, maybe we can turn to it, and it's a beautiful verse, and maybe you know it already, but it's so beautiful. It's Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6. And I was thinking, like, I could read this verse over and over again, and it's always so fresh and it's so powerful. And this is the heart of God. If you were to compare Christianity to so many other religions in the world, if you see the heart of God in in the Bible and in Christianity, it's so different from so many other religions, because it's not us coming to God and working our way up to God, steps up to God, but it's God with His compassion coming down to us. And He meets us, and we have no strength really. And even someone that thinks they have strength, they really don't have strength. They don't have the strength to get to God, because that requires perfection. And it says in Philippians 1:6 that it says, being confident of this very thing. And I think you could say it like this. If you have anything that you're confident of, or if there's one thing that you could think of in your life that you could be confident of, it could be this thing right here. And it says, He that has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. That's the heart of God. He not only is the one that first causes the work in your life, but He's also the one that performs it while you're walking with Him in your Christian walk. He's the one that will... He saves you. He does the work. In John 19:30, He finishes the work. He's finished the work of our salvation. And then He is performing it. He does it. And He will continue to do it, and He will finish it. Like it says in Hebrews 12:2, that Jesus, we look unto Jesus, who's the author of... And it doesn't even say our faith. It just says He's the author of faith. I saw that for the first time in Pastor Shabelli's message a few days ago. He's the author of faith, and He's the finisher of our faith. He's the author and finisher of faith. That's amazing if you think about it. That not even the faith that we have is our own. Like it says in Romans 12:3, that He's dealt to every one of us a measure of faith. That means that He's put in us a seed of faith that we can put that faith in many different things. We can put it in science without God, which many people do. Or we could put it in God, and God explains science. Seems like everything in science, like when man has an idea that goes against the Bible, we find later on that they have to change things and reverse things, and there's something that they didn't know. I mean, just thinking about DNA, and I love science too. That's what I'm so interested in it. Seems like when we discover more things, we find that there's so much more that we don't know. And God is kind of like snickering, like, yeah, that's why it's faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And so God is the first cause, and He says, the work that I started, I will complete it. I'll finish it. I'll perform it. And that is so comforting that, you know, even when I make a wrong mistake, and it says in Hebrews chapter 12, and it starts in verse 6 and goes down to verse 9, it says that even when God has to chastise us, it produces peaceable fruits of righteousness. And I was thinking that even when we make a mistake, God is so good that He's with us, that He'll even use the mistakes that we make, that we want to go against God in our mistake, and God turns that around, and He makes fruit to grow. He makes there to be fruit. And if you can turn again in John chapter 15, there's this other verse that also explains this point, that God is our first cause. And verse 1 and 2, it's, Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. And every branch in me that bears not fruit, He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, He purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. So this is John 15, 1 and 2. In the Greek, it reads like this. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, He lifts up. Seems so different from what the King James says. But it says every branch that doesn't bear fruit, it's like the idea He takes the string and He ties it to the main tree, and he ties it to that branch that's not bearing fruit, and He lifts it up so it can get more sunlight. And that way it will bear fruit. And the ones that bear fruit, He prunes it and purges it, that it can bring forth more fruit. And it's in our life, this illustrates the same principle that we have with Philippians 1:6. That even when we have a place in our life where it seems like we're not bearing fruit as a believer, God says, I'm not going to cut you off and throw you away, but I'm going to tie you up and get so you have more sunlight, so you have more vision of me. And when I do that, you will bear more fruit. Because even the punishment that comes from God is always done in love. And it's done to prune us and to cut away the dead part of us so that we can actually grow and gain more fruit. And I have this incredible story that is like this too, that illustrates this as well. For the past 2 years, we've been doing a university outreach in Zambia. It's the University of the Country of Zambia. And I love this outreach because in Zambia, you know, it's a Christian nation. It's been declared in their constitution that they're a Christian nation. So people have the right kind of vocabulary. They have a Christian vocabulary. But we ask them, is it a profession or have you really accepted Christ? That's what we're always dealing with. When we do evangelism, probably 9 out of 10 people, if you ask them if they have Christ in their heart, they say, oh, of course. You know, don't you know where you are? You're in Zambia. You know, this is a Christian nation. What's wrong with you? You don't even need to be here. We don't even need you. But when you dig deep, you see that many people haven't had a relationship with Christ. But on the university, you know, people are exploring different things, you know, and they have like a lot of education, but it's not a good education. So it brings them to a lot of questions. And there was this one young man, and as we were talking to him, he said, you know, I was brought up as a Christian, but I have so many questions now that I need to be answered. And we said, well, do you have a minute? Can we talk to you? And we sat down, we just started talking to him, and God put it on my heart just to talk to him about the glory of the Scriptures and of all the prophecies that are in the Bible and how all of them have been fulfilled pertaining to the life of Christ and how Christ was born and how He was born in Bethlehem and this was, you know, prophesied hundreds of years before He was born and how He would die. I started telling this young man like these different prophecies. And he said to me, like, wow, that's incredible that you say that. I heard on the radio, like, the same kind of message and the same kind of thing. And it was really helping me, but I haven't heard it since. And now you're talking about the same thing. And we had a radio program in Zambia. And we stopped doing it, but for years we had a radio program for a half hour every week. And I said, that program wouldn't happen to have been on a Tuesday, would it? And he said, yeah, I think it was. It was last year on a Tuesday. And I said, was it called Grace Moments? He said, yeah. I said, that's the radio program of our church. And he said, yeah, then your program, someone was doing a thing about prophecy. And I said, I think it was me because I did like a show about prophecy. And I said, did he talk about these things in Daniel and the time frame of Christ coming to the earth? And he said, yeah, that was it. I said, that was me doing the show. And he couldn't believe it. And I said to him, like, don't you see that God has a plan for your life? Like, God cares about you. How could this ever happen? That we've met each other at the university. And the program that blessed you so much is the one that... And the person that did the program is talking to you. And we kept talking. And I found out that he goes to the... He, like, lifts weights. And I said, which gym do you go to? And he said, I go to TNT Gym. And I said, because that's the one Pastor Ronaldo goes to too. I said, do you know Ronaldo Brown? And he said, yeah, he helps. He's like, sometimes he helps me, spots me to lift weights. So he's the pastor of our church. So, I mean, I was just thinking that this is that picture of this young man's life. His name is Kwezi. And you can pray for him too because he's been traveling around. He hasn't been around so much in Lusaka. But I said, God has a calling for your life. And he's been coming to the Bible study that we do in the university. I said, the same God that has called you and that He started a work in you, He'll perform it. And look at the work that has been done in His life, you know, as He grew up in a Christian home. And even though we have questions and doubts, like God meets us in those places. And He says, I'll perform that work in you. I'll give you an answer. When I've had doubts, God has given me answers. He gives me the answer that I'm looking for. He meets us where we need Him. And it says in Habakkuk 2:4, it says, the just shall live by A lot of people quote it wrong. They say the just shall live by faith. But it says the just shall live by his faith. I was thinking, whose faith is that? It's the first cause. It's Jesus Christ. It's the faith that he puts in us. And he just says, you don't have to do much with this faith. You don't have to produce your own faith. You just direct it in the right direction. Just put it in the right direction. And if you put that faith in the direction of Christ, then you receive that grace that's just ready. He's waiting to be gracious to us. And Ephesians 2:8-9, it says, by grace are we saved through faith. It's like God's grace is ready, and he's drawn us just to point that faith in the right direction by his first cause and causing us to do that. And we make the just small decision of just pointing faith right at Jesus Christ. And then his overflowing grace just pours over us. And it does that for salvation. And the same way that we receive Christ, we walk in that same salvation. And we walk by grace. And even as we're like even making decisions in our calling, we just trust God for the same thing. We trust God for that same grace. In a failure, we believe God for that same grace. The same way that he started it, he performs it and he does it. And this message is such a precious message. It's like in Matthew 13, that pearl of great price. And there's so many churches, you know, that we could say in Zambia, even in Malawi, these are British colonies, these are Christian nations. But when people hear about this, about eternal security, that when God saves you, he does it forever. He never leaves you or forsakes you. And that salvation is completely by grace. It can't be earned. Can't be bought by our good works. We just simply receive it so simply by faith. And when people hear that, it's such a refreshment. And we see that a lot in these places, that people have very legalistic upbringings that they've been through. And, you know, in all different, even religions and Islam and different things, but when they hear that God is a God of grace, and they hear the heart and the love and the character of God, who's willing to say, I'll do everything for you. I'll start the work. I'll do it while during your Christian life, and I will finish the work in your life as you walk this Christian life. And it's all just for, all you have to do is say yes to God. And Pastor Chabelle used to say that all the time. That's really what faith is just saying yes to Jesus Christ, simply. The moment that we get saved is when in our heart, maybe it's not even a prayer, but we make a decision to say, yes, Jesus Christ, I want you in my life. And then Christ comes and he does that. And he just begins this process and he continues it as we go through in our Christian life. So we're just so happy to be here. It's the first time I've been in Westminster. But it's a great blessing, and we just ask you for your prayers. So God bless you. And we go back to Zambia in the end of August, and we're there with a team for a few months and just do preparation so that we'll praying to move in November. So, Lord, thank you for these words, and thank you, God, for this time. Thank you for your heart for us, your love for us, and your care for us, God. Continue to direct us as we know you will. Lord, and maybe someone who never receives Christ, has never done it before, just in your heart, just say yes to Jesus Christ. He loves you. He cares for you. Amen.